In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear family, grace and peace to you on this memorial of St. Bridget of Sweden. She who's renowned for praying for those in purgatory. I think her prayers are in the Pietà book. If you don't have one, they're not expensive at all. They're beautiful prayer books. You can get them at the Marian Catechist Center. Just get it. Well, today we will ponder St. Bridget of Sweden, the evil in our times, the cure for our evil, for this evil, and the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and reception of the Holy Eucharist and Viaticum. St. Bridget is a saint for our own evil times, a saint who struggled mightily in her day against, get this, corruption in the church. After being widowed, she went to Rome to work toward the elimination of the corruption. She died after decades of suffering in Rome, both physical and emotional suffering. She's a saint for our times who would speak the truth, who would call out evil in her day just as she would call out evil in ours. And dear family, as we ponder St. Bridget of Sweden, you surely must wonder if only today all our leaders, outside and inside the church, would call out the evil of our times just for being evil. It's so obvious. Our perception, they would just do this. Our perception of the continuing rioting, looting, burning, and shooting, our willingness to tolerate what we talked about, that godless mayor of Seattle calling it the summer of love, that our tolerance would end in a hurry. The problem is, and these are desperate times, they call for desperate measures. We can't ponder this enough in these crazy times. Certain people in power, people in media, people in government, even people in the church, flatly refuse to call it out for what it is, evil. Instead, we have, for instance, you probably have seen this, the utter idiocy of an MSNBC reporter standing in front of a looted and burning building and actually saying, we couldn't make this up. Quote, I want to be clear on how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly. I've told you a number of times that the cities are going down. And all that is patently obvious. Just look at one example, Chicago, which continues to have a record year of shootings and murder. In June alone, Chicago had 424 separate shooting incidents where at least one or more persons were shot. The number of shooting victims recorded that month, 562, 85% higher than the year before. And of those victims, 89 were murdered. On Saturday, in separate incidents, a 10-year-old girl was killed and a 1-year-old boy was killed. Separate incidents. All told, this past weekend, another 12 people were murdered in Chicago. Another 25 people were shot on Monday. On Tuesday, another 23 people were shot. All the while, as the saying goes, the mayor fiddles while Rome burns and incomprehensibly still blames the president. Not my fault. What a profoundly evil thing for her to propose. And we can only shake our heads at the utterly inept mayor of Portland who went out in the middle of the night last night and tried to engage anarchist protesters. Remember, they were going to do that. They were going to say they're trying to defund the police instead of refund them, make them stronger. No, not going to do that. Let's make them weaker. And they're going to send out, instead of police responding to violence, to crimes, to domestic violence, they're going to send out like counselors. Yeah, like as if that's ever worked. Well, the mayor tried to do that. Portland, they booed him soundly. And watch, his security detail had to rescue him. Interestingly, this would be the same mayor who refuses to back law enforcement and protect all the citizens of the city from such anarchy, and who refuses federal assistance to quell the violence. But he sure made sure he had his security detail to keep him safe from the violence. What a joke. So in the midst of all of this, what are we to do? Be like St. Bridget of Sweden. Very holy, profoundly holy woman who stayed attached to the vine. On yesterday's U.S. Grace Force podcast, which you can watch on YouTube, the great Doug Berry asked Father Heilman and myself, well, what do you do? When he's talking about these crazy times, what do you do? I was like, if you see it, you can see. As he's asking this question, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to let Father Heilman answer this first, and then I'll just try and, I'm not good at questions off the cuff. And before I could even say anything, Father Heilman said, well, I'll let you answer that, Father Altman. I said, essentially, turn to God. Turn to Almighty God. In essence, today's gospel. Make absolutely sure we're attached to the vine. Because otherwise, if we're not, we're going to wither. The big mistake of the last 4 months of shutting down the churches as non-essential is we weren't able to be attached to the vine. Return to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Receive the Blessed Sacrament. At least then, if the godless violence spilled over closer to home, surely it's coming, we will have built our spiritual arcs as we were attached to the vine. So we would rise above, hopefully, the tide of violence. Father Heilman essentially said to unite and let the bishops know our concerns. Respectfully let them know our concerns. Hey, we need to stay attached to the vine, hierarchy. Let us stay attached to the vine. Don't cut us off. This is so obvious. This is so fundamental. What part of today's gospel do some people not seem to get? Well, we're doing that today, aren't we? All you who are here. Staying attached to the vine. Building our spiritual arcs. Here we are today, building knowledge and wisdom and understanding about our faith. Our faith applied to the world around us. After all, like love, faith isn't all about us. It isn't put in us to stay. Faith only is faith when we give it away. Otherwise, our faith is tasteless, useless salt, only to be good to be thrown out and trampled underfoot, as Jesus said. Our faith, we're supposed to live our faith. We should be a light that shines out truth and holiness and goodness in the face of all the evil of our times, like St. Bridget. And here we are today, coming to receive the very daily bread for which Jesus taught us to pray, to receive life itself so that we have life within us. Which brings us to Viaticum. I don't know how to impart the experience of giving those close to the veil viaticum, food for the journey. There's so many privileges in being serving as one of God's priests, baptizing, of course, holding those precious babies, bringing them, baptizing them into eternal life. That's one end of our life, but on the far end, to be with them as they approach the veil, to pray over them, to anoint them, to give them viaticum. But her family, as was the case for so many victims in Chicago, and around the country. You know, I'm not harping. That's to harp. When you recognize what happened for each one of those victims, when you ponder the danger that we're all in because of the anarchists, rioters, looters, burners, and shooters, we can't talk about it enough. As was the case for so many victims in Chicago and around the country, they did not know. Their time was up. Did they get viaticum? Were they strengthened for the journey they didn't even know that we're going to have to take? When priests in the lockdown were told you can't give communion to the people, how are we supposed to stay attached to the vine? How are we supposed to have food for the journey? Each day, regardless whether it ends in death, is still a journey of our faith. It's still a struggle in the midst of life to be a witness to our faith. How are we supposed to do that if we don't receive it? If we don't get this, if we can't stay attached to the vine? None of us know when our time is up. Those people in Chicago, those victims, didn't know their time is up. None of us know whether the Holy Eucharist we receive today will be our viaticum, our food for the journey. None of us know whether the cataclysms of our time, coming faster, coming more furious, will directly hit us. And then what? And seriously, if we stand before Jesus, said, well, I would have had viaticum, but I couldn't get to the church. And he said, well, did you bother to mention that to the bishop? Is this the 24th time? I said, give thanks. Write a note of thanks to Bishop Callahan because he let us stay open. He let you, let me give to you food for the journey, food for the daily journey, even food for those on the last step of their journey. Let's realize the fullness of grace we receive in the Holy Eucharist, especially if it is indeed our viaticum. The nourishment and strength we receive for the journey. Let's realize if today was our last day, then we should be immersed in contemplation of the fullness of the meaning of viaticum. That brings us to one final point for today. On the one hand, if you were here yesterday or if you watched, you remember how we ended. I'd have to say, on the one hand, I'm happy to say that I do not have to pick up the tab for breakfast for all of you. Remember how we ended yesterday? I said I would take all of you out to breakfast, pick up the tab, if that Catholic church in the cities had a communion rail. I'd never seen the inside, never saw a picture. Never having seen a picture of its interior, nevertheless, I was willing to stick my neck out there and say that it is not likely there was a communion rail. How could I be so confident? Because nobody who understood the truth of the real presence nobody who understood viaticum ever would lead the people, would try to teach them to grab a plastic sandwich bag in the back, piled on a table, take it out in the car, self-communicate. Do family connect the dots? If 74% of people now do not believe in 2,000 years of the unchangeable truth about the real presence, let it sink in that so many ordained clergy do not believe either. Someone once said that to me. How can you even propose that? A clergy, such a cleric, can't believe. Well, if it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, is that how the saying goes? It's a duck. Do I think for a second that that person up at that church who piles plastic baggies of a white piece of bread in the back believes that it is the consecrated body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who will attach us to the vine, will give us life within us, that will be our viaticum for the journey, if today is our last day? Nobody who believed that would pile the Holy Eucharist in a plastic baggie for people to just grab and go. Sacrilege. The family, that proposition was 100%. If you could have 110%, then it'd be 110%, but 100 is as big as you can get. That proposition was 100% absolute sacrilege. Well, and behold, a couple of you who did the research even sent me pictures then of the interior of the church. And get this now, it all just fits. It all just goes together. Not only, of course, was there no communion rail, there were no kneelers either. God forbid we kneel before our Lord God Almighty in adoration and worship. No kneelers, none. Signs, dear family, visible signs, not of belief, but of disbelief. Throughout sacred scripture, people bow down before the Lord. Not at that church, no kneelers. Another sign, the big band seats up in front where they don't belong. Never in the church, never in the Catholic Church does a band belong up front. A distraction for the one thing upon which we're supposed to be focused. The altar of sacrifice, the tabernacle, which wherein is our Lord reserved. Big band seats up front. Another sign that the gathering was not about Jesus, but about the people. Kind of in a sort of an around kind of a way. Altar stuck out in the middle. In fact, part of the instructional video even had to say, oh, don't hold hands during the Our Father. We're not supposed to do that anyway. That is a post-Vatican II liturgical lunacy. Also, they said, don't touch anyone. Just wave at them during the sign of peace. And you see these people in the instructional video kind of, hey, good to see you. Glad you're here. It was like all the horrors of the sacrilegious desecration of both our churches and our sacred liturgy were embodied entirely and perfectly in that one church. But all you needed to know was that they dared to suggest they're going to pile a consecrated host in individual plastic baggies on the back seat for you to grab and go. In fact, they made a point of saying, just go, get out of here. Don't hang around. Don't want to somehow get someone else sick. Your family, in these evil times, let us look to all the saints, like Saint Bridget, who suffered for the truth, some who were martyred for the truth. Look at Saint Tarsicius. Can you just imagine? I hardly can comprehend the sacrifice. Can you imagine if Saint Tarsicius came into that church in the cities? Who lost his life protecting the Holy Eucharist. Can you imagine if he came into that church? What is that? Let's realize we must live up to our own calling to be witnesses of our faith. And we are nourished and strengthened to live up to that calling by attaching ourselves to the vine so that we can build our spiritual arcs. By coming to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the representation of the sacrifice of Calvary itself upon that altar of sacrifice, and then receiving the bread of life, the real presence. And as our psalm told us today, let us bless the Lord at all times, but especially this time when amidst the evil, Bishop Callahan made sure we could still do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.